don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to do it. Don't enter into 2019 just being around Christians, maybe liking Christians, maybe liking the fellowship. Maybe you're embarrassed because you've been in a church like this or some other church your whole life, and you've never had a personal relationship with the Almighty God. You've had a relationship with everything around the Almighty God. This would be the day to do it. So you walk in to 2019, a child of the King. It's an amazing time. So many of you have told me that you have come to the Lord, come to Christ, over the Christmas time years ago. It was a Christmas time that you came to the Lord. This is a time to come. It's for us a celebration, a commemoration, and today to commemorate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection with communion is so beautiful. But if you don't know Him, you're just watching us do it. And that only goes so far. Being around Christians is great, but being a Christian is better. Because we're failed human beings. So if you're looking to us to be like God, let's just look to God and Christ. Then we won't be as disappointed, and we can all work together. But if you don't know Jesus, today is the day to do it. Let's just pause one more minute, just for a moment. This is, I think, a holy moment. You're there. If you need to pray, if you didn't pray while we were doing this the last 20 minutes, now's the time to pray. Dear Lord, I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. Forgive me my sins and cleanse me. Thank you for saving me and giving me new life. And just pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ours is a belief. It's a trust. It's trust in the Almighty God. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to even give money. You don't have to do anything like that. It's a belief in Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you do that. And if you have done that today for the first time, be sure to see me or one of the others in the back or at the end of the service. We have prayer people here, men and women who stand up front that will pray with you as well. And if you need prayer for any other reason as well, please come forward. Thank you. And thank you, team, for being here. They've done a great job today. Michelle, Bill, I never mention their names because there's usually 20 up here, but Michelle, Bill, Raul, Matt, Mike, and of course, Clay, and they've done a great job today. Thank you for opening the word to us through worship. And we're glad you're here today. If you're visiting us, it's a little different day today. We have a different group up here. They're all our own people, but different, smaller, and we don't have our children's programming today, so there'll be a little noise maybe in church, but that's okay. We're a family. Next week, that'll all be back on track again. And but today we have children in the service. It's a family time. And so we're glad you're here. If it's your first time, please visit us in the back. Elizabeth and I will be back there. There's also a lot of people back there that can help you get connected and know more about the church. There's a little tear off in the bulletin to write your name. And also, if you have a prayer request for anyone, just write it down. We collect those on Mondays, and the staff prays throughout the week for every prayer request you send in, whether you're a member, a first-time visitor, or just a friend of the church, and you want prayer, just put it down there, and our team will pray for you as well. Well, today, a little different. Over the coming weeks, over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to see some of our missionaries starting next week of World Lead. We'll have one of our Korean missionaries here, and we'll explain that next week. And then over the next 6 weeks, we'll probably have about 30 or 40 missionaries from around the world, all over the place, that'll be in our services and in our Bible studies and all, culminating at the end of January with our World Lead Summit that we have every year. So it's a very exciting time. We talk about World Lead a lot, and we talk about the various things that we do in World Lead. If you'd like to go on a trip, we'll be talking about that for 2019 in a couple of weeks, and there's all kinds of things you can participate in. Just go in the back and ask. And some people say, what is World Lead and how did it get started and all of that? I just want to just share a little bit. We'll be kind of sharing over the next few weeks, but long time ago, when I was the age of some of these kids in here, my dad, Disney World wasn't really around much. It was just starting kind of to be around. So my dad didn't take me to Disney World. He would take me to the most obscure places in the world. We were in the jungles of the Amazon. He took me into the Far East, and he took me behind the Iron Curtain when it was the Iron Curtain. He said, you got to see what communism is about. He took me all over the world, and I was amazed to see what was happening. As I got older, then I started doing it. I was of age, and so I started doing it. And then when I got married, Elizabeth and I started doing it. Then we had kids. We started doing it with our kids. And one of the things I realized, because I would ask people everywhere I went, tell me what are the 4, 5, 6 biggest issues in your life, Christians. I'd go to a church in India or in Burkina Faso or in Romania or in China or somewhere else. What are the issues? And you know what's amazing? They were all the same. They were ordered in different ways and they were expressed in different things. People want their spiritual life to grow. People want their children to come to the Lord. People want to live a life where they can worship the Lord. And yes, the particulars are different. West versus East, North versus South, wealthy first world countries and majority world countries. A lot of differences, but there is so much the same. That's why the Bible is so valid today, because God knows the human condition. And the human condition is the same from the Genesis chapters through the Revelation chapters through today. And as you read the scripture, you go, wow, that's like me. But it was written 3,000 years ago, some of it. Why? Because the human condition is the same. Though we can speak different languages and we have different cultural habits and different foods. Well, one of the things that we wanted to do in World Lead when it established was to reach into those 4 or 5 issues and help people through them, because missionaries and leaders have the same problems you and I have. Again, whatever country they're from is just a particular. What their background was, how they grew up is a particular, but the principle is that they want to grow in the Lord. And so one of the commitments we made at the very beginning of World Lead 10 years ago was that we were going to try to visit every single missionary every single year. Not have them, we'd go to them. So it's pretty amazing. We get to about 95% of them. Some of them are having babies or whatever. We cluster them in 8 settings throughout the year. 2 in Africa, now 3 in Africa, in the India, Nepal area, sub-Asia, in Eastern Europe, in the Middle East, in the Caribbean, and in Latin America. And we do 1 here, which some come here. And we talk about things that are important. One of the things we talk about is the care of our soul. The care of our soul. That's what's underneath this shirt, deep inside of me. That's what's inside of you, our soul. And Elizabeth, my wife, and I do a lot of teaching on that. And that's kind of our part. We do leadership training, and we do financial trainings, and we do family trainings, but we're really interested in the soul of people. And today, at the end of this year and the beginning of the new year, I want us to do a little check on our own soul. Can we do that? Kind of the toxins that get inside our lives, the spiritual toxins. And I have asked Elizabeth, who teaches this around the world, to teach this to us today. So can we welcome Elizabeth up here? Thank you.
Bless you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see all of you here, and I trust you had a wonderful Christmas with your family and friends. And welcome to Boca Community Church again. And if you would just join me in prayer as we get started. Father in heaven, we invite you again into this portion of our service. And we ask that you would fill this sanctuary with your holy presence, and that you would speak to each one of our hearts and remind us of the truths you want us to take and bury deep inside our souls and live out as we go through 2019. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 days before Thanksgiving this year, there was a horrible scare that we all heard about. It went viral. It was on every newspaper and everything on the internet. Romaine lettuce was a danger to us. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention issued incredible warnings. So every head of lettuce, every heart of lettuce in the romaine family, every bag and box and mix that had one speck of romaine lettuce beside it had to be thrown out. The warning went out to all of us consumers, to the restaurants, the retailers, because E. coli was found in 12 different states, had sickened almost 50 people, and romaine lettuce was a danger. Now, if you walk into any Publix or Fresh Market or Trader Joe's and look on a bag of romaine lettuce, you will see a little warning label, and it will tell you where the lettuce was harvested and the date and the place, so consumers can now buy lettuce again because we are being told it's safe to eat. It is no longer a danger to us. Well, physical dangers, it's good that we get those warnings. But there are spiritual toxins in our world, in our hearts, buried deep in each of our souls that often we are not aware of. And there is no news program or newspaper alerting us to the dangers of these toxins. And we want to look at those today. In the early days of the Methodist movement, when Wesleyan bands, their small groups, met together, sort of like we still have small groups and we call them study groups here. When they got together, they asked each other a very important question. They said, "How is it with your soul?" And perhaps nobody has ever asked you that. And I will pose that to you this morning. How is it with your soul? What answer would you give if you had to come up with one? You see, each of us has a front stage life, the visible part of us, the place where we are applauded and noticed and affirmed. This is the doing part of our life. It's the front stage. The audience is invited here. But each of us also has a backstage life. Whether we're a teacher or a construction worker, a realtor, a nurse, a physician, a stay-at-home mom, a student, we all have a backstage life that is messy, and the audience is never invited there. That's the being part of us. That's the part we want to look at today, the backstage life. Everything that happens backstage facilitates the front stage. And the remedy for all those toxins that affect our spiritual health, all those poisons that contaminate our soul, they're all found backstage. Those remedies that God has in His Word that He wants us to incorporate in each of our lives. Jesus taught this principle all through the Gospels. Jesus taught that our life should be lived from the inside out. Jesus taught us that the private part of our life informs the public part. Jesus taught that the root is the backstage, and the root is what determines the fruit, the front stage of our life. There are dozens of ways we can look at nurturing spiritual health, avoiding spiritual toxin, developing soul care. But for time today, we're just going to look at three. We're going to look at deepening intimacy with the Lord. which is a remedy for the toxin of pride. We're going to look at engrafting gratitude, which is a remedy for the toxin of selfishness. And we're going to look at choosing acceptance, which is a remedy for the toxin of discontent. All of these poisons affect our souls. Our souls must be cared for. Deepening intimacy, remedy for the toxin of pride. We'll start with that one. Pride, very simply, if you want a quick little definition, is I am the boss of me. I am self-reliant, and God takes second or third or perhaps fourth place in my life. Pride is a horrible, dangerous toxin for us spiritually. It must be avoided. It must be rooted out. It must be dealt with. My colleague John Lucas, that Bill talked about, heads up our world lead mission of our church. I get to travel with Bill and John and Francois and go to all parts of the world. Before a recent trip, John Lucas sent me a text and said, "May I have 30 minutes of your time to discuss the upcoming trip?" I immediately texted back, of course. We set up a time. We had a phone conversation. We settled some of the details. But that phrase haunted me. It haunts me still. May I have 30 minutes of your time? I went home and wrote this. I am not so generous with God. I am less cooperative with Him. God asked me, "May I have 30 minutes of your time today?" And I am prone to ignore His request. The days flow into weeks, the weeks pile into months, and months stick together as years. Time flies and flees and runs away like a wild horse. No fault of mine, I dare say. Naturally, I meant to give the Lord 30 minutes or so, and I will make Him a priority one of these days when life slows down and I can carve out a holy place to put Him in. Perhaps after this email is sent and the boss's report is finished, the weeds are pulled, the house is painted, the wash is folded, the Facebook post is up, the workout is over, and the phone calls are returned, perhaps then, that's right, I'll do it then. I will absolutely make time for God then. I think as believers, we all struggle with this. Matthew 11:28, you know the verse. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says to us, "Come to me, and I will give to you." And the problem is, we are very slow in coming to Him and very quick in going to everything else. Time alone with God, deepening intimacy with our Creator, was never designed to be in the, "Oh no, I have to do this today." No, it really should be in the, "I cannot believe I even get to do this part of my life. I get to be alone with the Creator of the universe." We make it very complicated, and He is longing for conversation. We hesitate, we procrastinate, and He is saying, "Come to me, and I will give to you." I think sometimes we forget that when we approach the Almighty, that He is a loving Father. He is a perfect parent, wanting to provide and protect for us in every single part of our life. I think so many of us have had earthly fathers that have fallen short, and so we take that image of what a father has lived out in front of us, and we move it into the image of the Heavenly Father. But you see, that is wrong thinking. Jesus showed us who the Father is, what He is like. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus told his disciples, if you know me, you know the Father. So as we read the Gospels, as we see Jesus loving and healing and calling and blessing and protecting, that is a picture of our Heavenly Father. And that is who we approach when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We forget that not only is he a loving Father, he's a generous Master. He has work for us to do. He's called each of us to a particular task, but he hasn't left us out there on our own. He will equip you as you go to him so he can give to you everything you would possibly need, everything I would need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. He's a loving Father. He's a generous Master. He is a complete healer. I think we forget to ask him for healing. At a particularly difficult place in my life, when I was aching and I thought, there is no way God could possibly ever lift this pain, this sorrow, this grief from me. I was in a Bible study, and the teacher taught us this verse, and I memorized it, and I prayed it for over 3 years. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Look that one up when you go home and underline it and memorize it and pray it for as long as you need to until he gives you the healing that he wants for you. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. This loving Father, this generous Master, the one who is our complete healer, is also the great forgiver. And sometimes we don't spend time alone with him and deepen intimacy because we've messed up. And it's a boulder, and it's a wall between us and God. And God says to us all through Scripture, I know you're not perfect, but I am, and I am willing to forgive you. Come to me, and I will give it to you. You see, getting in front of Jesus in each of our lives, in mine and in yours, is really our only hope. And we learn this all through Scripture. Bringing our needs to the Father must be a priority for ourselves and for all those whom we care about. There's a very familiar story in Luke chapter 5. You know it. You don't need to turn there. You can just make a note of it. Luke 5, verse 17 to 26. There is a paralytic. He has four friends. The friends know that they must get their sick comrade to Jesus. His only hope is for them to bring him from his home to where Jesus is and get him in front of Jesus. And so they begin. They pick him up on his pallet. They go through the streets. They go to the house because the word has spread, and the Scripture tells us that it had come from Judea and Galilee and Jerusalem. The house was packed. There was people everywhere. These four friends wanted to get their sick friend in front of Jesus, and they couldn't. So they gave up and went home. No, that's not how the story went. People were in their way. They were an obstacle. And so they said, we've got to get around this obstacle. They climbed the stairs. You know the story. Without their friend falling off, they went to the roof. They tore through whatever materials were on that roof, and they lowered their friend all the way down without him falling off till they got him in front of Jesus. There's dozens of lessons we can learn from that story, but for us today, the lesson is there will always be obstacles in our life preventing us, keeping us from getting in front of Jesus. There will always be obstacles preventing us from deepening our intimacy with him. And we must be aware that they will come. And we must overcome. Overcome the obstacles to get in front of Jesus. These four faithful men teach us that story. Some of us are stuck, or we're bored, or we're unsure. Just exactly how do I develop more intimacy with the Heavenly Father? I could talk a dozen different ways, and if you turn left or right, you would hear a dozen more. I'm just going to give you one, and I challenge you, as you're going into 2019, would you put this one into practice? Would you open your Bible and find a familiar scripture that you know, or perhaps a verse that you know by heart? Today, let's remind ourselves of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to find those verses that you already know, or new ones that you've never read before, and turn them into a prayer. Father, thank you that the Lord is my shepherd. You can write it, you can say it out loud, you can say it quietly in your heart. Today I feel like a lost sheep. I need direction, I need guidance, I need protection. The scripture teaches me that the Lord is my shepherd. I thank you for that promise. I need him to be my shepherd today. You get the idea? Any scripture, take it, personalize it, and pray it back to the Lord. Deepen intimacy with your Father. Come to me, he says, and I will give to you. The second area, the second toxin we want to look at today is selfishness. The word says everything. It's full of self. And I think the remedy for that is gratitude, where I find time to notice other people and what they're doing. And I find time to notice the overlooked specks of loveliness that God has sprinkled all through my life. I worship him when I notice ordinary things that he's given me to bless me. I wonder, when was the last time you woke up in your bed and was thankful that there was a mattress beneath you and not a cold sidewalk? I wonder, when was the last time you flung open your refrigerator door and stood in amazement at all that fresh food inside that you didn't have to forage in a forest to find? When was the last time you turned on the faucet and saw clean, cold, and hot water coming out and was thankful that it didn't have impurities that would kill you? When was the last time you woke up in bed and instead of thinking, oh no, today I have so much I have to do, you thought, thank you, Father, that I have so much to do today? Gratitude. So important. Bill and I went on a little vacation at a beautiful beach resort. There was blue umbrellas, soft white towels on every chaise lounge. There was pitchers of ice-cold water behind us. And there was about 8 containers of every toy you would possibly want to use, and mask and fin and snorkel and surfboards that anybody who was a guest at that resort could use. It was a paradise, really. I'd love to go back. And then the beauty was shattered because up came a little girl behind her mother, whining, complaining, quarreling. I saw the mother's shoulders droop. I saw the little girl continue. I was compelled. I got up off my comfy chaise lounge. I went towards the mother. I just was trying to help her. And I could do nothing. So I moved out of their way and sat back down and watched this little girl just beat her mother up with her complaints. She ignored the beauty of the ocean, the soft sand, the toys, the umbrellas, everything that was hers to enjoy. And she was focusing on the things that she wasn't quite pleased with at that moment. As I thought about that little girl, it bothered me deeply. And I realized it bothered me because I imagine In God's ears, I must sound just like that little girl. When he has given me so much to be grateful for, and I focus on those little parts of my life that aren't perfectly okay. In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, I'm going to read that for you. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, verse 11 of Luke 17, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That story has many lessons for us. But I see in that passage of Scripture the fact that Jesus noticed the 9 who were ungrateful. Jesus notices when we forget to say thank you. He doesn't need us to say thank you. When I teach my grandchildren to say thank you when they've been given, it doesn't make me happier to be thanked. I want to give them something. A spirit of gratitude and gratefulness. The Lord wants to give us something when he reminds us, be grateful. Notice the gifts. Engraft gratitude. It is a remedy for the poison of selfishness. I recently had Bill and his 2 children for dinner. And halfway through this very ordinary meal, nobody would ever take a picture of it and post it on Instagram or Facebook. It was regular. Gracie got out of her chair, came beside me. She calls me Situ, which is Arabic for grandma. Gave me a tight hug, and she said, "Thank you for making this dinner for me, Situ. I just love it." And she went back and sat in her chair. Well, now the dinner was something spectacular. Now somebody should take a picture of it. Gracie had noticed. Gracie was grateful. She taught me to be grateful. I'm going to give you a little chance to do the same. Some of you have your phones and you have a note section. Some of you have those little blank pages at the back of the bulletin. Would you turn there right now? I want you to practice. I want you to write at the top of the paper, or type it on your phone, "I love this, God." And then I want you to think, "Thank you for making it for me." And I want you to think of 5 things you would put in that blank. Go ahead and take a minute and be grateful. "I love this, God. Thank you for making it for me." That is an exercise you can do in your mind, in your heart, on paper and pen, at least once a day. Engraft gratitude. Let it rid you of the toxin of selfishness. And finally, choose acceptance. This is the remedy for the toxin of discontent. Discontent is a poison that destroys our soul. A few Christmases ago, my nephew Jacob was so eager to open a present that he nagged my brother Paul on Christmas Eve till finally he said, "Go ahead, pick one, open it, and we'll open the rest Christmas Day." So Jacob jumped beneath the tree, grabbed the present that he had his eye on, tore open the paper, and looked at my brother and said, this is exactly what I always never wanted. When I heard that story, first of all, I thought it was a great title for a book. I thought it's a summary of how so many of us think. God, you have given me something which is exactly what I always never wanted to have. And God says to us, I can take that something and I can bring great beauty out of it if you will let me. I can use that disappointment, that heartache, that hurt that is in your life. I can transform it. I can use it to bless a multitude of people if you let me. He's making us ambassadors. We tell him, use us. Make us more like Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And he tells us it comes at a cost. There are some things I will allow in your life that you would never choose on your own. But don't be discontented. Don't be discontented. Have you asked him the question, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me now? Have you phrased it perhaps in different words? Why are you allowing this to happen to me now? I think if we're honest, we would all agree that we have said that to the Lord. Turn to Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. It's a story you all know. It's Jesus entering Jerusalem. But there's a line in there that I want you to underline. And it's the answer to that question, why are you allowing me to have to deal with this now? Mark 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And you know the rest of the story. But I want you to look at verse 3. Here's a question we ask the Lord all the time. Why are you doing this? And this is the Lord's answer to us. The Lord has need of it. The Lord had need of that little colt. We know that story. But the Lord has need of it in your life, whatever the it might be. The Lord has need of it. And here's the spectacular mystery that we don't need to understand what that might be. And we leave that into the capable hands of our good and loving Father. So we want to deepen intimacy going into 2019. Remedy for the toxin of pride. We want to engraft gratitude and let that be a hallmark, a stamp that's visible in each of us as a remedy for the toxin of selfishness. And we want to choose to be men and women, boys and girls, who choose acceptance, who know that the Lord has need of it and will use it for some great good, even if we can't figure out what that good might be. I wonder, as we're going into 2019, if you would bow your heads with me and we would just ask the Lord, continue what Pastor Clay started. How about we just confess to him and ask for his forgiveness? for allowing these three toxins to be in our life. Father, we come before you and we ask that you would forgive us for the areas of pride and selfishness and discontent that we allow as part of our souls. We beg you to remove those from us, to make us aware of them, to help us. Would you rid us of them, Father? You promise that as we come to you, you would give to us. And we ask that you would do that. And Father, I pray for every boy and girl in this room and every man and woman, and myself included, that we would go forward with a hunger to know you more, with a desire and a spirit of gratefulness, and with a surrendered spirit that would choose acceptance in all the areas of our life. We thank you and we praise you as our Heavenly Father, as our generous Master, as our Shepherd, and as our great Forgiver. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who heard Pastor Bill share the gospel and invite you to pray and receive him, and perhaps you're not there yet, perhaps you have no interest in deepening intimacy with God, may I give you a challenge going forward in 2019? Would you tell the Lord? Ask him to show up, to show himself to you. Pray that prayer. I give that challenge to you. Lord, if you are real, reveal yourself to me. Help me to understand and to know that you are there. And let me know how he answers. Thank you so very much. And Clay, you go ahead.